News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 7th of May, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour,
on the home repair clinic.
On the home repair clinic, right. Thank you.
Repairing
Fred Jason.
Repairing your home computer.
We are indeed Sound Bites, and we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, your phone calls.
Yeah, so anybody calling about plumbing in there.
Yeah, we'll be glad to talk about it. Our knowledge is non-existent, but we'll be glad to pretend we know something about it.
Well, we can repair some of the things in your home, like the computer.
Exactly. Home computer repair clinic. Thank you. All right. Before we get to the phones, however, an interesting bit of news. This one's actually pretty serious. Congress is going to be voting about network neutrality. Right now, if I am on one network, you know, AT&T has a network and Sprint and Verizon and all these guys have their own networks. If I'm on one network and I want to get to somebody on another network, that's all free. They just all trade with each other. However, everything we'll do will be hurt if Congress passes a radical new law this week that gives giant corporations more control over what we do and see on the internet. Internet providers like AT&T are lobbying Congress hard to gut network neutrality. It's basically the internet's First Amendment and the key to internet freedom. Net neutrality prevents companies like AT&T from choosing which websites open easily for you based on which sites pay AT&T more. So, for example, BarnesandNoble.com doesn't have to outbid Amazon for the right to work on your computer. Google doesn't have to pay more than MSN or Yahoo or Ask.com in order to work on your computer. If this net neutrality is gutted, almost every popular website from Google to eBay to iTunes must either pay protection money to internet companies like AT&T or risk having their website slow down. You know, it can take 2-3 minutes to open some of these sites. So,
and by then you'll give up and move on.
And by then the theory is you'll give up and move on. Now, there's a petition that will be delivered to Congress before the House of Representatives votes this week, and we'd like you to sign it. Steve will put up the link on the website in just a moment. As soon as I hand it to him. In just a moment. But basically, net neutrality means that no website's traffic has precedence over anybody else's traffic. And that's important. You want to go to sites like soundbites.org. We're not going to be paying anybody money. We don't make any money. So that site would be ridiculously slow. And you don't need that. You don't want that. So please, sign this petition. Politicians don't think we're paying any attention to this issue. But if we do care about preserving the free and open internet, sign the petition, letting your member of Congress know that you support preserving internet freedom. And I will pass this on to Steve. And it's right here in the middle, Steve. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like having to pay a toll every time you cross from a county to county on the road.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it's...
every road, not just the
throughway. Well, right. And it really means that some destinations will be, you know, more equal than others, basically. And if we don't want that, if we want network neutrality, then please go and sign this petition. Get your name involved in part of this. Don't wait. We're not quite sure when the vote will take place. But if you wait till, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it could be too late. Now, I know that there are those of you who don't ever listen to the show except by podcast because you're, well, in China or Hawaii. Actually, Bob from Hawaii is in town this week. Bob, if you're listening, I sent you my phone numbers. Give me a call. But if you don't listen to this show, maybe it's too late. It can't hurt to try to sign the petition. Go to the site. You'll find it on our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Click on the links button and then click on I heard a website on your show. That would actually be link number 3. The list of sites mentioned weekly on your show, link number 3. So please go there and find that link and sign this petition. I would really, personally, I'd really appreciate it.
What's weird is there, the MoveOn site that you gave me is calling it a contest.
Well, that's, yeah, they've that's happened to be what they call the software they're using. It calls it a contest, but it's not. It's I'm sure they use the same software
for
everything.
Oh, it's not a contest as in win something. They're contesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not contest, it's contest.
It's contest. Yeah. Exactly right. All right. We're going to go to the phones now. Our first caller is Rob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rob. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. Two questions. We have two computers hooked up to a D-Link router, and anytime the phone rings, the router cuts both of us off. Nah.
It's not supposed to. That's
yeah.
The point of digital phone is that your voice signal and your computer signal run on separate frequencies in the wire.
Who's digital? You do have a digital phone, right?
Of course. We have Time Warner.
Time Warner digital phone. Have you talked to them about this?
They don't understand what's wrong with it either. They suggested changing the channels on the phone, but we've got a phone that...
Could it be the router?
Change, yes, either a setting in that router or try a different router temporarily.
Yeah.
Okay, I could try that. Okay, I was hoping...
I don't have a digital phone.
Okay.
So I can't exactly tell you what the problem is, but on the back of the router from Time Warner, the actual cable router, aren't there two sets of wires coming out?
It's not a Time Warner router, but yeah, I think there is.
Well, there's your problem.
That might
then
be the problem.
You probably have to use that in the Time Warner's router with Time Warner service.
Right. Now, you're using the D-Link router, but that goes into the Time Warner cable modem, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about, the cable modem. It is a router, but they call it the cable modem.
Okay.
And that has two separate connections in the back, right? One for network and one for...
yes, it does.
Phone.
No,
and
way.
You've got the phone one going to a phone and the network one going to your network, right?
Yeah.
Could be that.
I don't know. We'll have to look at this. We got to take a quick break, but we'll research this, Rob, and see what we come up with. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And he's Rob Linton. And this...
Give him a week off.
He's just grooving to the jam.
Yeah, I mean, he
exactly.
just takes a week off, and he's, like, totally disoriented.
It's 19 minutes after the hour under beautiful cerulean skies in Rochester, New York.
Wait a minute, what?
Beautiful cerulean skies.
Okay.
It's 55 out.
And it's 55 degrees, and we're grooving. Mm-hmm. We're grooving to the tunes. All right, for those of you who are American Express cardholders, you need to beware. There's a new virus out that pops up a logon screen even when you're on the company's secure website. The pop-up tries to lure the user into entering their name, their social security number, their mother's maiden name, and their date of birth. This is not coming from American Express. It's not even coming from a website. It's a virus. The fake pop-up, it's a classic example of a banking Trojan that targets a specific financial institution. Even when you're surfing on a secure, authenticated website, because it's not coming from the web. It's coming from your machine. Basically, they use Internet Explorer and ActiveX.
Surprise, surprise.
So if you're not running Internet Explorer or you're not running Windows, then you're completely safe from this. Mostly, these things have targeted South American banks. This is really the first... one that we've ever heard of that actually targets American Express. You usually get them as attachments or URLs in your mail or in your instant messenger or whatever. And once you enter that confidential data, the Trojan transmits the information to a remote server controlled by the attacker. So if you get a pop-up screen on your system saying, you know, log into American Express... don't. And dance the tango. And what are you still doing using Internet Explorer anyway? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Our next caller... What?
Anytime, though, folks should be wary anytime they got a site is starting to ask you for, one, social security numbers.
Right.
Social security numbers and maiden names and all this other stuff. Hello. Be afraid. Very afraid. I mean, if it's that important, then call that company.
Right.
You know, before just arbitrarily just typing it in. Hello.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. Our next caller is Penny from Warsaw, New York. Welcome, Penny. What's your question?
I just downloaded her ebook.
Yep.
And it will only open in an Adobe. And I can't get it to open. It goes to a blank screen and then comes back, you know, to my desktop. And then sometimes it'll even go into a different setting where everything's real big.
Right.
And I've tried everything.
Do you have problems with other PDFs as well?
I really have never downloaded anything like that before.
Well, let's back up a step. Is this ebook a PDF or is it
PDF?
Okay, so it's not the Xeno ebooks or any of the other ebook systems.
Definitely.
And you've got Acrobat Reader 7.0?
Yep, I downloaded the new one, too.
You downloaded it and then it installed?
Yeah. And I can go on it, and you can see the little picture under the detail.
Yep.
But I can't get it to open where I can see it.
Right. Let me suggest this as a start, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Get another PDF from anywhere. There's, you know, you go right on Adobe's site and download
a PDF.
Zillions of PDFs.
Okay. Well, I did, like, this morning, try. They give you supplements to this book.
Right.
And they did have another one to download, and that wouldn't even download. But
well,
that's
a separate issue.
That's what I'm thinking about the first one. The download didn't finish,
okay.
So the
right.
file's corrupted.
Right. That's
one.
That's what I'm wondering. If you were to open another PDF and that one works, then the problem is that particular download didn't work right.
Oh, okay.
Are you on broadband or dial-up?
Dial-up.
Yes.
All I can. I was listening to your advertisement about Frontier. Well, I have Frontier, but we're too far out in the country to
get it. Yeah, it'll be a while before they get to you. Now, that
well, there's
could
always
be,
satellite. You can get satellite from anywhere. It's a little more expensive.
It's a lot more expensive.
It runs about $50-$60 a month,
right.
But you can get broadband.
And checking with Frontier because they're constantly, literally, updating their services and expanding it on out.
Yeah.
So
but
keep
if you've
checking
got,
your phone number.
Right. But if you've got a friend who's got broadband and they can download it for you and stick it on either a USB thumb drive or a burn a CD for you.
Okay. I did send one file to my daughter. She has Roadrunner.
Well, but you sent it to her and it was coming from your machine, right?
Yeah. And then she could open it on her Adobe.
But you couldn't.
But I couldn't.
Okay, that's a good test. That tells us that the problem is with Adobe.
Mm-hmm.
Let me suggest that you uninstall all the Adobes you've got.
Uh-huh.
Download a clean version of the latest one.
Right.
And install that.
Okay. Now, another thing. I went on there on the help.
Yeah.
And they said something about the ActiveX. You have to have that.
Yep.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that... you had to have certain files in this. And I went and I checked my files, and I think I am missing some files.
What version of Windows are you running?
What do you mean?
Windows 98,
oh,
Windows
XP.
XP.
And when was the last time you did an update of your operating system?
Probably a long time because it's dial-up.
Yeah. That, I think, right there is your problem.
Yeah.
You need to update to the latest version of Windows XP.
Okay.
And get Service Pack 2. They've pretty much cleaned up their act on Service Pack 2.
Yeah.
I almost think I have that.
Yeah, see, go all the way to Service Pack 2. Well, when you do your upgrades, it'll give you all of that.
If you go to right-click on My Computer and choose Properties,
okay,
it will tell you what version of Windows you're running. It'll say XP, XP SP1, or XP SP2.
Right.
Now, Service Pack 2, you can order on a CD because it's several hundred megabytes too big to download.
It's Service Pack 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
so then it's
there.
Just the minor updates.
Yep. Okay, I'll try that.
Yep.
Okay, well, I hope it works.
Me too, Penny. Give us a call and let us know.
Okay. And
thanks.
I did send an email in case I didn't get on, but you can answer that too if you want.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Now, don't forget to go and vote for network neutrality. That's important for us. Our next...
Oh, the other one bailed.
Oh, the other one bailed. All right. I think, let me just talk one little more minute about that network neutrality, because that's very important.
Yeah, it is.
What it really means is we're going to end up with a tiered internet. It means that companies that pay will get to you faster, and companies that don't pay won't. That means sites like Soundbites and Ask Nick and NYPC and MacAv and Jesse Group.
The 99% of the small businesses.
Yeah. Won't pay because we can't afford it. And consequently, your access to all of those places, which frankly I think are the most interesting sites on the internet, will be much slower. And you're paying for broadband now. Why would you want to pay for broadband and then get slower access to the sites that interest you? But that's what's going to happen because the big companies like AT&T and those are saying, well, we're going to slow them all down unless they pay us money. Now, to my way of thinking, that's extortion. And I've had relatives go to jail over that. Excuse me. I mean, I know people who've gone to jail over that. Well, I'm Italian. I must have a relative somewhere who went to jail over that. Anyway, the thing is that you've got to sign this petition, and it's up on our website. Please sign the petition and become part of the voice.
Actually, their contest is they are having a contest to contest if you get 10 people to sign up, you can win prizes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. All right, so everybody sign up. I'll win a prize. I don't know what prize I'll win. I didn't even know that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. Oh, excuse me. Rob Linton! I almost forgot. I didn't get to do it earlier, so I did it this time. I'll do it one more time to make you happy. Rob Linton! And me, Nick Francesco, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with your phone calls. Give us a call. You know the numbers. 222-1180 if you're local. Choice 1 toll-free line is 1-800-295-1180. And, of course, star 1180 for all you Verizon Wireless customers. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Looking.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, 31 minutes after the hour. Under Alice Blue Skies here in Rochester, New York. And
that is the word for the day.
Alice Blue?
Yeah, sure. No, those are two words.
Alice?
Yes.
Alice is the word for the day?
Yeah. Tell me why you picked that to describe the weather.
Look at it.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
That's
thanks.
An Alice
appreciate
Blue
it.
Sky.
Oh, yes.
You got a problem with that?
Alice Blue is a light blue-gray color or steel blue that was favored by Alice. Now I got to bring up the Alice Roosevelt Longworth, daughter of Teddy Roosevelt.
See?
Sparked a fashion
and
sensation
is that
in
not
the U.S.
A bluish gray sky?
And Rob, aren't you glad you got into this topic?
I can't really, you know. Yeah, that's good. That's yeah. That works. That's very, you know, I would have picked that word too.
We have a view of the sky. Rob has a view of bricks mostly. Yes. So he didn't notice that the sky was an Alice Blue color.
That's the official color of the United States Navy for any vessel named for Theodore Roosevelt. Is
see
Alice
that?
Blue.
That would be the Roosevelt.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many vessels are named the Roosevelt? Well, I suppose there'd be the Theodore or the Teddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Research. Oh, yeah. We got people on the phone. Before we get to them, I want to talk about a new virus threat. Hackers are increasingly turning their efforts towards instant messenger-borne attacks. The volume of instant messaging threats, this report is coming from a company that sells protection against these things named Postini, but they're saying that the volume of internet messaging threats that it tracked during April of this year increased by nearly 25% over March. So that's pretty significant. Hackers are out in front of the good guys in terms of recognizing that instant messaging is a very palatable way to attack desktops. They're seeing every variation of virus being delivered over instant messaging, from rootkits to keystroke loggers to worms. U.S. companies tend to be at great risk because IM applications have become more popular in the workplace across the nation. IM attacks are increasingly being launched by organized criminals looking for financial returns for their efforts. Email viruses have gotten a lot better. Email filters have gotten a lot better, but IM remains largely unprotected. So if you're an IM user either at home or at work, be really careful who you talk to and really careful what you click on. That's just good common sense, but we tend to forget it. You know, we're talking to somebody and suddenly somebody else pops in and says, hey, go here. What a great site I found.
Yeah.
Click.
They're gone.
And you're done. And you're caught. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next caller is Dave from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Yes, good morning. Question, a couple of weeks ago, in the paper, Kim Komando ran an article right above yours.
Sure.
And she was talking about the WEP system for encryption, or a WPA,
right,
or a WPA2. And
right,
my question is, how do I check, you know, to find out what
well,
I got?
Well, there are two places that has to be set.
Yeah.
One is on your computer, on your wireless computer, and the other is on the router.
So the place to check that would be in the manual for your wireless router.
Right. So get the manual for your wireless router. That's that little bunch of paper you didn't open when you pulled the wireless router out and set it up.
Well, I didn't set it up, so.
Well, at any rate, somewhere there is a manual, and that will tell you how to get into the wireless router itself. It usually has a web interface that you can get to. Sign in as the administrator. And check out whether or not WEP or WPA is running.
And the best one is WPA2, but only the brand newest, latest hardware support that.
And the brand newest, latest software. If you don't have any of the later versions of any of the service packs for Windows,
but the
you
thing
may not
of it
be
is,
able to
though,
do it.
Is depending on where you're trying to connect, the only one you might be able to check is the one on your machine. Because if you're trying to go to some wireless cafe or somewhere else, you're not going to be able to check it there.
Right. You can't control that from your end. They have to control it from their end. And almost any place that you go that's wide open.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah. That has, you know, free Wi-Fi is wide open. There's no WEP or WPA. It's completely unencrypted.
Yeah, if it doesn't ask for a password, there's no encryption.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Usually I'm concerned about just, you know, running this from my home environment.
Then check your wireless router. Get into it and see if when you open up your laptop and set it up and go in, does it ask for a password?
No.
Or
did you ever put one in?
Well, at one time I think it did, but now it was set up so you just click it.
It remembers it.
Well, it would remember it. But anyway, to be perfectly safe, check in your router to make sure that you have WEP set up and that it's running correctly. That's the only way you can tell. Well, I suppose you could sniff the network and see if it comes across plain text or encrypted, but it's a whole lot easier to just go look in the router.
And read, like you said before, read the manual and take the security precautions that, you know, if you're going to run the wireless in your home, you're going to want to lock it down by putting in unique key addresses for each computer that's going to be on your wireless network. Otherwise, if you just leave it wide open, you know, whether it's somebody next door or out front, they could sit there and literally hack into your...
Yeah, in the beginning, all the routers set up to wide open, no security, no passwords, to make it easier for home users to use it. And then we all discovered that our neighbors were stealing our network and getting into our computers. So now the default with most routers is to walk you through some wizard or setup program to turn on a password.
Yep.
Right. So give that a look and make sure that you are set up protected. All right, our next caller, Robert from Spencerport, New York. Welcome, Robert. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Got a question for you. Our computer keeps coming up with the connection window. We have broadband with Time Warner, and it keeps coming up the connection when trying to connect, and it wants to dial out, and I've changed it back to never dial a connection, but it keeps coming back.
Because you are, one, either infected with a Trojan or some spyware.
Okay.
Dial up dialer.
Yeah, there's a bunch of specific viruses and Trojans that will try to dial the phone and run up your long distance bill on someone else's network.
Okay. So the best thing to do is
dance the security tango.
Okay.
At securitytango.com.
Got it. Know where it is.
Excellent. Okay. Make sure you go there and do that. If you need a CD, you can click on the get the CD button. And get the CD either sent to you or whatever. And, of course, click on Nick's blog.
I can guarantee, though, he's got that dial-up dialer, though.
Yep.
That's the one that does it.
And click on Nick's blog and read my blog. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite.
You were just so insulted by that bump, aren't you?
I'm still insulted by that.
I'd like to get Sean Hannity on the show or have him call in so we could discuss
that. That's not Sean Hannity. That's the voice guy.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, it's 44 minutes after the hour under international Klein blue skies.
All right, tell me where you're looking to find that. You're not coming up with those things off the top of your head. I know that.
You don't know colors?
Not those.
Okay.
Well, Wikipedia has
20. Blue, pink, red.
The Wikipedia has 29 shades of blue.
Oh, Dave, you know these words. Come on, he's finding them on the internet.
Well, no, actually, I must confess, my wife is an artist. She knows all these colors. And she sees them. I look at something and think, that's blue. Or that's green.
Chestnut brown.
But she, she'll see international Klein blue or electric blue or Prussian blue or powder blue. She sees these colors and they mean something to her.
Mm-hmm.
Alice blue.
Yep.
International Klein blue. Researchers have charted a leap in Macintosh vulnerabilities. Flaws found in the Mac operating system have increased by 228% since 2003. Now,
that's
in
from
2003,
zero to two.
that was like one, and now there's
three.
Six.
So that's 200%
right,
more. Yeah.
Right, right. However, again, this is another thing coming from. This is actually coming from McAfee, and they sell products to support to kill viruses. So, take this with however many grains of salt you want, but a lot of the reported issues have actually been related to iPods and the iTunes download service. McAfee released the findings alongside the announcement of its new package of antivirus applications for Apple Intel-based Mac. So, again, take this with whatever grain of salt you want, but the availability of Mac exploit code on the internet makes it an open target for the same types of malware currently plaguing the Windows world. As more companies deploy Mac systems running in the Intel platform in mixed environments, the risks of infection will increase, and we know that. We've already spoken about that. Several high-profile issues reported since the beginning of the year have thrown the company's Mac platform under additional scrutiny, including the arrival of two worm viruses that affect OS X users. In March, Apple released a security update that addressed five separate security vulnerabilities found in Safari, including one issue for which exploit code was already out there, and another glitch that was rated by Apple as extremely critical. So I think the halcyon days of laughing up your sleeve are over. You do need to be aware that viruses are a possibility, and you need to protect yourself against them. And as we've said before, it's important to be a good network citizen when you are sharing files with Windows people, even if you've gotten, even if you get an email with a virus in, it's not going to affect you. But if you've cleaned it out, you won't be passing it on to the stupid Windows people. So you should do that. You should be the bigger person in this case and make sure that you're running an antivirus program, both for your safety and for the safety of your poor benighted colleagues who have not yet seen the light. How was that?
That was pretty good.
Thank you. Our next caller is Zach from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Zach. What's your question?
I recently had a hard drive failure on my Windows XP laptop, and I had the important files backed up. And when
good
they
for you.
Yeah, when they replaced the hard drive, which was fine, they ghosted it. And when I got the machine back, I had this big file which was called recovered data. And it has all these programs in them, which are now redundant because I have them on the operating system. Now, mm-hmm. Can I just, cherry pick what I want out of there and then delete the other stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Take what you need and then delete the file and gain back
a couple of
gigabytes of disk space?
Or burn that off to another CD
uh-huh.
or DVD, just in case you happen to accidentally miss one.
Uh-huh.
This was that. Back it up to a CD or a DVD, depending on how big, the files are.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you can't use the uninstall programs in those in that folder to uninstall the program.
Right.
You can't use any of those programs, period, that are in that recovered folder because they're not registered in the Windows registry.
All right. So there's no problem with just deleting them.
No, nothing at all because they're not active programs.
Okay.
What they did was they say, you know what? We don't know where Zach's data actually are.
Uh-huh.
So we're just going to back up everything. He can find his data and throw away the rest.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Good luck with that.
And that actually takes less time and is less costly to the customer. If it takes me 5 hours to weed through your corrupted data to find the one file you want, well, that's 5 hours of billable time.
Right.
If it takes me an hour to copy your whole hard drive, that's only an hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yes, that leaves more of the work for you. But on the other hand, you know where your files are. We don't.
Right. Well, you'd be surprised at how many people don't know where their files are.
Well, there's that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that. Listen, we're going to take another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am indeed Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 52 minutes after the hour, under azure skies here in Rochester, New York, it's
Soundbites. And the temperature went down. It went to 54.
It went to 54. And Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Our next caller is Brian from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a G3 Max, 400 megahertz, 320 megs, and when I sign out to AOL, which I have dial-up, occasionally I get what my wife calls ghost email. I could see all the names of the email. When I double-click on them, I don't get anything. What I have to do is sign off, sign back on, and it seems to fix the problem. Any ideas?
What version of AOL are you using?
It's AOL for OS 10. I'm running 10.2. And I've reinstalled AOL to a newer one, and it's the same problem.
I think 10.3.7 is the current version.
Yeah, I think I have 10.3 point something. And the older version.
Sometimes that happens when there's a glitch in communication between the system, in this case AOL, and your desktop. I get that actually every once in a while, even at work. To my own mail servers, every once in a great while you get what you think is a blank email, but if you sign off and sign back on, you get it.
Yeah. All the emails in the list, so it's not just one.
Right, but what I'm saying is it happens to me once in a great while, but it if it's happening to you regularly, that could well be some sort of cache problem.
Since the email only lives on AOL, and when your Mac logs into it, it just pulls that list from AOL.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be able to find the AOL cache folder.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think I have AOL on this computer to know where it is. So it's somewhere, it's in the, if I remember right, it's under user shared AOL.
Okay.
And then there's a, there it is, the data. There's a data folder, and then the ART database we've also heard about problems with, which is basically the web cache. AOL calls it the ART database.
Download all the icons.
Right.
Right. And so what it means is the next time you sign on, it'll be downloading all those icons again instead of pulling them up from your hard drive.
Yep.
But so if it's gotten corrupted in some way, that, you know, could solve your problem if you delete those.
Right.
So do I just clean out the cache or delete them?
That's how you clean the cache, is by deleting those files.
Oh, you just delete
not out the not the folders, but the files in the folders.
Yeah.
The files in there.
Yep.
Okay. I'll give it a try.
Okay. All righty.
How you make out.
Our next caller, Andrew. Welcome, Andrew. You're calling from Rochester?
What's that?
Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Rochester, New York. It's Andrew Welch from Ambrosia Software.
Oh, Andrew, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to let you know, I was actually involved as myself and another engineer in reverse engineering and diagnosing one of those viruses that you guys are discussing.
About the Mac viruses.
Exactly. And we actually are the ones that provided information to the antivirus companies about what it was and what it did and all that kind of good stuff.
And how badly written it was, right?
Really, the more we found out about it, the less impressed we were.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, in order for anyone to be infected, they would have to either actually click on a link to download the file.
Right.
And then they'd have to say, yes, you know, I agree, go ahead and run this thing.
Yep.
And even then, it can't affect anything outside of just your user account. It's kind of kept in a little bit of a playpen there.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have a root exploit. It can't affect the operating system.
Right.
And then all it can do in terms of replicating itself is it it tries to send itself to people on your buddy list for on iChat.
Right.
But that only works over the local network. So only rendezvous buddies on your buddy list could ever possibly have been affected by it.
Right.
So it was a poorly written virus that had a very low chance of propagating.
Right, but now...
The only reason I mention it is that one thing you have to keep in mind is all of these the companies that make this antivirus software, you got to understand, I mean, they're doing a public service by putting this out there, but they're also doing it to make money.
Well, right, and I mentioned that. I said you got to take this with a grain of salt. But you
honestly,
also have to remember...
They are dying to have a real viable threat for the Mac, which isn't... It's going
right.
to happen eventually.
Well,
okay?
But that's my point,
saying,
which is...
Oh, it will.
Because remember the very early days of Windows viruses were exactly
right.
the same sort of thing you're talking about here.
Yep.
They were
yep.
silly. They were badly written. You yep. really you had to do things to make them work. And now look at them.
And you have to think the antivirus companies are writing the viruses to begin with.
Well, that's
the key thing is it's just the clock is ticking.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with you to an extent, but there also are architectural differences that make it more difficult.
Yeah, but not impossible.
Absolutely not. It will always, no matter what you do,
right.
any operating system under the sun.
As long as you're connecting to the internet.
It can be exploited.
Right.
It just takes a higher class of programmer now to bypass the securities that are built into the OS.
Right. Yep. And they will constantly, every vendor, Microsoft, Apple, everyone is going to constantly be fixing problems. It's never going to end.
It's exactly right. No matter what your operating system is, you need to protect yourself on the internet. And that's really what I'm fighting against is the Mac people who are still all smug about how they never get viruses.
Hey,
just because there haven't been any
for what
yet.
It's worth, what we do, we actually don't own any antivirus software on any of our computers.
Right.
What we do is we run antivirus software on our server.
Right.
So that any email coming in is cleaned, but our actual machines, for what it's worth, I haven't seen anything out there that I consider enough of a threat yet. That I care about.
And right.
The thing is,
Andrew,
if you buy the antivirus software now, it's not going to handle, this new exploit that ends up.
Well, it's all the update stuff. Listen, we got to go. Got to take a break. Give Dave a call and
email me, Andrew.
And we're going to take a break back in just a couple. Yeah, and we'll get you guys on the show again because you were a guest and it was very nice. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll we'll have the news. Rob Jason, who we remember his name, even though he has no idea who we are.
Yeah,
we'll be in to do the news.
We gotta go fix a plumbing leak.
Exactly, and then we'll be back on the other side of that with a lot more news and our poll and all kinds of interesting stuff, and of course, many, many more of your phone calls, along with Dave Enright. Yes, sure. And there's Rob now coming in at the last possible moment with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And under cornflower blue skies here in Rochester, New York. It's Soundbites.
No, that's weird because cornflowers are like yellow, aren't they?
Yeah, he's just pulling things out of
no, the air. No, cornflower blue is an actual color. And it's 24 after the
hour.
Cornflowers are yellow, but there is a cornflower blue, and it's 24 minutes after the hour. And just to make Rob happy, it's 57 degrees under those cornflower blue skies. Back to the phones in a minute. First, we're going to talk about ODF. The open document format. Now, you've heard me talk about this before. There are multiple document formats that you're familiar with. PowerPoint and Excel and Word all have specific formats. The DOC format and the XLS format and the PPT format. Those are proprietary to Microsoft. They are not open. The only reason that other programs can read them is because they've reverse engineered them to a more or less degree, better or worse or whatever. But... there is a format out there there are several formats that are common to everybody, the RTF format, a rich text format. There's also the ODF format, open document format. It's a terrific format. It's the one that's used by OpenOffice and several other programs like that, and it has some nice features to it. It has the ability to pretty much do anything you would want to do. It's very compact because it's actually a zip file with a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's human readable. It's XML code. And so, you know, 200 years from now,
if you consider XML code to be human readable.
Well, yeah, exactly right. But 200 years from now, no matter what program we're running, you could write a filter that would let you read documents written a couple of hundred years ago. Try doing that with the very first version of Word. Yes.
Just got a call from somebody in Hilton, and they said that your cornflower blue is actually an official color in the Crayola crayon box.
Yep. Thank you.
It's RGB hex number or decimal number is 100 red, 149 green, and 237 blue.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, she.
And, here's a picture of a cornflower.
Just decided to call us and tell us that. You know, I grew up in Hilton. There's really nothing to do out there, so that's
except
you know.
Check your Crayola. Crayola 64, the ultimate. You know, if you only got to like the 48, you're not going anywhere. It's the Crayola 64s. You got to have them all. Colors that you would never even know about, like cornflower blue, Rob.
What are you telling me for?
Because you were looking at me with that askance look you have all the time, and I thought it was specific to this instance. At any rate, the open document format has been available for every operating system except, of course, for Microsoft Office, for every Office suite except Microsoft Office. However, the Open Document Foundation has actually created a plugin for all versions of Office dating all the way back to Office 97. Right now, they have created that specifically for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Massachusetts has decided that all formal Commonwealth documents must be in the open document format, so they will never be obsoleted and they will never be unreadable. And that has left them without their Microsoft Office. Many of us don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I run OpenOffice all day, every day on all my systems. Nobody even knows that I share files all the time with everybody. Nobody even knows I'm not using it, that I'm not using Office. And it was cheap. It's free. You know, it's free. Why would you spend money for something you could get for free? But at any rate, it's about, you know, having legacy information systems connected and coordinated, not having to re-engineer every time you do something nice. And now there is this open document format connector. Right now, the Open Document Foundation is offering it only to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They haven't quite figured out just when they'll put it online for everybody yet. It becomes a plugin for Office, and then it just lives the way everything else lives. You can set it to be your default. You can save as, all that other stuff. So I'm delighted to see that happening. It brings Microsoft's Office into the fold of the rest of the world, and we'll see how long it takes for that to really catch on. Our next caller is Joe from Chi-Li, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
How you doing, boys?
Peachy, how are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I got my laptop here, and it has a blue screen with a physical memory dump on it. Error message.
Okay.
Okay.
So I want to know if that Firefox vulnerability might have caused that.
Did you update your Firefox?
I did not. I just read it today.
Yeah.
Well, there's a million things that can cause that.
Yeah, I had it before, and they replaced the memory in it, and then it would work.
What were you running when the screen dump happened?
What operating system?
No, just what were you doing when
I was just booting up from a it was shut off.
Well, then Firefox wouldn't do that.
All right.
Now hold on. You said they replaced the memory once already?
Yeah, they replaced the memory sticks once, and because it was doing it before. And now it's doing it again.
All right. Then it's possible that it's still a physical memory problem. What I might suggest is find a friend with a burner.
Uh-huh.
Go to memtest86.com. That's actually in our list of links. Memtest86.com. And download and burn the CD for Memtest. Then boot with that CD in the drive and let it run the test for about 24 hours.
Okay.
That will... test all the memory and tell you whether that is the problem.
Is this machine still under warranty?
No, it's not.
Start there.
A lot of machines will have more than one memory stick, too. If you can take one out, try running it for a while, see what happens, and then swap that one for the other one, try running it a while, see what happens, and try to isolate whether it's a specific RAM card. Or sometimes, more annoyingly, it's a specific RAM slot on the motherboard.
Yeah.
But
so
this is
and
a
particularly
laptop,
with
so
laptops, right? But particularly with laptops, particularly as they get banged around and moved around and stuff like that.
Yeah, I use it all the time for work, and when I come home, I would put it right in the cradle.
Right.
You know, it doesn't do it very often in the cradle, but when when it's out of the cradle, it does it more.
Yeah, see, it could also be then a power problem. You may be having a problem with your battery. Right. How old is this thing?
It's pretty old. It's been upgraded.
No. Just in terms of physically, how old is it?
Probably like 5 years old.
Yeah, see, the battery may be going, too.
Yeah. Yep.
It's very possible that the battery's going after 5 years.
Okay.
But really I would start with that diagnostic, the MemTest 86 diagnostic.
Uh-huh.
That will tell you and make sure it's plugged in while you're doing that.
Okay.
And that will tell you whether it's that's the problem. If not, then you need to get it to a competent professional and have them do a little more testing on it. 5 years is a long time for a laptop.
Okay.
You can keep a desktop machine that long and not even think about it. But laptops are designed to be carried around, and consequently they get banged up and they get, in cold and hot and all that stuff. And they do not last as long as desktops.
Okay.
All right.
Okie doke.
I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. Good luck.
Thanks.
Our next caller, Ron from Albion, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question? Ron, are you there? Hello? Ron?
Maybe not.
Ron has gone away. Our next caller is Terry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'm technologically challenged, but I am going to try and get a laptop computer, and I was just wondering what would be a good, whether I should get the Macintosh or what type of computer to get.
Right.
Where's the best place to buy it?
Well, a couple of questions first, Terry. You're an over-the-road truck driver.
Yes.
So you're long distance or
short
haul? Okay. If you're going to be a long-distance truck driver, then you want to know that wherever you go, you will be able to get service.
Right. I talked to some other truck drivers, and they said I needed some kind of card. I guess some kind of card, and then you can use it anywhere you use your
problem. Let's talk about the laptop itself.
Okay.
You're going to be taking it out on the road. It's going to get dusty. It's going to get hot. It's going to get cold.
Right.
It's going to get banged around.
Right. This is what we just talked about with Joe.
They don't last as long.
Right. So you want to make sure you get a really good long-term warranty.
Okay.
In your particular case, the extended warranty for, say, 3 years
is
a good thing.
Is absolutely essential. It's not even a good thing.
Okay.
It's absolutely essential. Then you need to think, where will I get it serviced?
Right.
If you buy a well-known brand like a Macintosh or a Dell, you'll know that you can get service in pretty much any major city.
Yep.
Okay, well, the problem is I'd be in a major city, but I don't know that I'd be there long enough for them to fix it. Like,
because you are a long-haul truck driver, you could drop it off in one place,
mm-hmm.
and say you drop it off, say, in Tennessee, but you're headed on out to California.
Right.
They could then send it to the repair center and then ship it to where you're going to be next.
Oh, okay.
Right.
That's the advantage of having, a company like that, that because you are on the move, it could be, weeks or a month before you're back to, say, Tennessee.
Right, exactly.
Not to say that it's going to need repair often, but when it does, you want it to be
right. This is, it's like getting insurance. You may never need it. Hope you don't.
Right.
And one of the other things, though, with the newer laptops, 99% of them are all coming with built-in wireless in them.
Okay.
So, if you hit one of the, the truck stops or, say, like the Waffle House or anything like that that has wireless.
Oh, the Wi-Fi. Okay.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi is already in there for you, so you can then connect, check your emails and do that type
of
stuff.
And that's the card she was alluding to earlier.
Well,
the Wi-Fi only runs about 100 feet, so you have to be near one of these rest stops.
There are new
cards coming from Verizon and Sprint that use the cell network, so it has a 2 or 3 mile range.
I think that's what the drivers were talking about.
Right. And you can also get a satellite link if you put an 18-inch dish on your truck.
Oh, right.
I got to commend you, folks. I got to commend you, though, Terry. I've got a friend of mine, actually a husband and wife team that were here in Rochester, left their jobs at Kodak and now drive for CFI, driving all over the country.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
It's a great job. If you're into being outside and having fun and seeing the country,
I don't know about the fun part, but we get to see every interstate and we get to see every industrial area.
Oh, wowie!
Now you go cross country?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in terms of which laptop, that really leaves you mostly with a Mac or a Dell. Those are the big. And maybe an HP, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Check with, if you're going to get it from one of the national chains, you know, the Best Buys, the Circuit Cities, places like that.
Is that the best place to get one?
Well, not necessarily. What I'm saying is I've never looked into this because I'm not a long-haul trucker.
Right.
Check to see if their warranties are honored at every one of their branches.
And tell you what.
And that's one thing I do know about Apple. You buy an Apple from any Apple dealer in the country, and you can get it serviced at any other Apple service center in the country.
Right. Okay. And if you look, you know, if you've got any questions of that, you know, email me. You know, on particular specs that you're looking at, you know, I tell this to a lot of folks, you know, I'm willing to sit there and look over, even though you're not buying from me or whatever.
Okay.
I'd rather have, you know, help folks picking out a computer to make sure that it's going to fit their needs.
Okay.
You know, and not something that's right. Just.
And so, Terry, email him and good luck on the road. And listen, as you're driving across the country, spread the Sound Bites gospel, would you, for heaven's sake? Thanks. We need more long-haul truckers listening to sound bites. That's clear. Our next caller is Barb from Marilla, New York. Barb, where is Marilla?
Marilla, it's about 25 miles east of Buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Near Eastera, about 8 miles from Eastera.
Sure. Yeah. What's up?
A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to you. My Norton antivirus expired April 11th, and I kind of forgot about it. And I was going to install it that day, and I'll be... Gosh darn, if you guys didn't say on there that there was a problem with the Norton antivirus.
We saved you then.
Yes. So I came in, tried to get this AVG,
mm-hmm.
and I think I downloaded it. It's on my desktop, but if I go to, you know, when I double-click on it and I go to try to use it, it says, I wrote it down here, it's not a valid Win32 application.
Bad download. Are you on dial-up?
Yes.
Yeah. You got a bad download.
Okay, and then I clicked, I have two things on there. I don't know what that means. I clicked on the other one, and it says Windows does not recognize this file type. It needs to know what program created it.
Yeah, dump both of those.
Okay.
I think for you, Barb,
yes?
Your best bet is to get Dave to send you a CD. It'll have everything on it. It'll have AVG and all of our anti-spyware things and the firewall thing. It's just a CD loaded in. And you're set up and running.
Oh, I did do the Spybot and the Ediware quite a while ago of listening to you guys. I did that quite a while ago.
Right.
Well,
that's good.
And I clicked on this free antivirus software for Windows on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And when it goes to the AVG, it doesn't say anything about free. It has a 2-year thing and a 1 year for 1948. And
that's the old link. The new, they've changed their website, so I had to change mine as well.
Yeah, if you dig far enough, they do have a free for non-commercial personal use.
Where do you dig?
What? You don't have to anymore. The new link on my website,
uh-huh.
If you go to securitytango.com.
Oh, that's another thing. I cannot do that.
Why?
It tells you about deleting all your files and stuff. I don't know how to do that.
Well, hold on a second. Let's take this one step at a time.
Okay.
If you go to securitytango.com,
okay.
Down the left, there's a bunch of buttons.
Uh-huh.
One says Grisoft's AVG.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that, it takes you right to the free link.
Oh, okay.
So you can download the free AVG right from there.
And it's about a 20 meg download. So on dial-up, it should take about an hour or
right.
more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
at that, if instead you went to the Security Tango website,
mm-hmm.
and just under the Nick's blog link, I'm just apparently pushing Nick's blog this week, there's a Get the CD link.
Uh-huh.
And if you click on that... it will take you to a page where you can have Dave send you.
I did see that.
The CD, and that has everything on it, including AVG, which would be a lot easier than trying to download it. You sound like you have a little bit of an echo on your phone, and that may be causing the problem with the download. So that might be the best bet for you. We have to take another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. We had an interesting point over the break, but we can't talk about that one. We also mentioned that that we should talk a little bit about how difficult the security tangle may or may not be for people to do. I do fully understand that it's a very long process The Tango is, when you get to that page and you print it out, it's like three physical pages of, yep, of print. I've tried to make it easier. My friend Bill Bateman has sent me, and I still haven't gotten back to him. It's gotten buried in my stuff. Has sent me a way that he's made it easier. But he seems to have made it easier by making it a lot longer. I can't make it much simpler than it is. These are the steps that have to be followed, unfortunately. I wish
if you're uncomfortable with it, then they need to take it somewhere.
Right, and that's the real point right there. If you're... I'm too close? Oh, yeah.
Dave's too far.
Oh, you need to get...
Forget it. Like,
I didn't think I was too close because I haven't yet swallowed it, actually. If you're finding that you're too, that you, and a lot of people, I understand it's not, you know, if computers are not your thing, you look at that and it's intimidating. So if you don't feel that you can do it, bring it to folks. I know that both Steve and Dave and many other companies will dance the security tango for you. They will charge you, but they will do it for you.
Yeah. And the other thing, I got to jump in here for a second though. Uh-oh. They call us, don't expect me to walk you through it.
Right.
I'm sorry, but yes, I do the answer questions in that here. I'm not going to give you a step-by-step procedure and hold your hand going through that. This is what I do for a living, the same with Steve.
Right.
And the Tango instructions pretty much are step-by-step now.
Yes.
Go to this menu command, choose this option, and...
If you're confused by that,
it takes a long time to do. I'm sorry, there really is no help for that. It takes a long time to do. I wish I could make it simpler... but I can't. Eagle Wolf was trying to do that in the forums. He was trying to create a single click that would do all the downloading and the installing and the this and the that. But things change so often that it became impossible for him to keep it up.
Just too hard.
I wish it could be done, but unfortunately it can't at this point. Listen, we're going to go on to our next call. Ron, calling from a cell phone. Ron, you're pulled over to the side of the road, right?
No. But I got a headset on.
That matters.
Yeah, I know. Hey, but appreciate you guys letting me back on. I dropped my phone and apologize for the dead air there.
Oh, right. You're the Ron that we never got hold of there. Yeah, all right.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
And he's screaming down the floor of his car. I'm here.
Don't let me go.
Right. We'd rather you call back than you let go of the wheel and start scrambling around on the floor for the phone.
That's true. Well, anyhow, hey, I have two computers. One is a company laptop and the other one is a desktop. Now, my company laptop is one I had for, you know, first, and I received an MP3 player, a Dell MP3 player as a gift, a Christmas gift, a year and a half ago. And what I did was I loaded some songs and from CDs, and I bought some songs online, and it's on my company laptop. Well, now that I've got my tower, and I would prefer just to move all my personal stuff off my company laptop, I download Music Match onto my tower, and I put my MP3 player, hook it up to it with the USB port, and hit sync, and nothing happens. Seems like I can't move the files or the music from my MP3 player to my tower by using the sync command. Is that true?
That is common on a lot of the MP3 players, including the Apple iPod. As a concession to the music industry, they don't want you taking your MP3 player to someone else's computer and stealing all the music by giving it to them.
It's
designed to not allow you to sync from the player to the computer. What you would need to do is hook your two computers together or use your MP3 player as a transport flash drive, copy all the music files from one computer and put that on the other computer.
Okay, so transport flash drive. Okay, so I just hit a brick wall in my understanding of technology. What does that mean?
Well, a lot of times, I know I'm not that familiar with the Dell DJ, but with the Apple iPod, you can turn it into a hard drive. So it mounts on your desktop as an E drive and looks just like a hard drive to your computer. So you find the music files in your Music Match library in your C drive somewhere, drag them to your E drive, and then take that drive to the other computer and drag them into the Music Match.
Or burn them all, find all the files and burn them to a CD or a DVD.
And re-rip them.
Or head to almost any computer store and ask them to make you a cable, a crossover cable, Ethernet cable that will let you link your two machines together into a little mini network, one machine to the next, and you can transfer the files from one machine to the other that way. So there's 100 different ways to do it to get the music over but not necessarily those songs right via the DJ.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a little more complicated than I would have liked. But
well, yes, yeah. It is, and that's all because of the RIAA.
There's a program called iPod Rip. I'm trying to see if they have a Windows version. It's specifically designed to copy from your right. iPod to your PC. In case your PC fails and you lose your songs, you can get them off your iPod.
Right, and the question is that available for something else?
There's got to be something similar for
Windows. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Rob and Steve and Nick and you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer Show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benrick.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites at 53 minutes after the hour under, what do you think, Dodger blue? Persian powder blue. Powder blue
sky. How about Robin blue?
Robin blue. Robin's egg blue. Skies in Rochester, New York. It's Soundbites. 58 degrees now. We're just making Rob as crazy as it's possible to make anyone.
He's still smiling.
Well, he is still smiling, but we don't know if that's actual smile or the gritting of the teeth. Before we get back to the phones, one quick news item for you Linux people. One of the things that has been tough under Linux is Wi-Fi cards. Personally, I've never had a problem, but apparently a lot of people have. There's a company named DeviceScape, which has something called the Advanced Data Path 802.11 driver stack that's always been available for Windows. That's how Windows gets so very many different products to work under Windows, under the Wi-Fi products. They have now open sourced that and are releasing it for the Linux folks. So in a very short time, we hope, Linux will be able to read just as many wireless cards as anybody else. I'm very excited about that. So we'll hope to see that available maybe next release, the release after of the kernel. Our next caller, and many of you don't have any idea what I was just talking about, but that's okay because the Linux people do. Our next caller is Terry from Ontario, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Hi. You were talking to the truck driver earlier about Wi-Fi and so forth.
What's we were talking to another Terry at that mm-hmm. point, yes.
There you go. What's available if you're offshore in a boat several miles and you need internet access?
The same thing.
Either satellite or the wireless LAN, WLAN they're calling it. If your cell phone reaches, then the WLAN card should reach. It uses the cell network.
I'd be way beyond cell phone range. So what's the deal with the satellite?
Yeah, that is your choice at that point.
There have been cases. In fact, one of the records for a while was a lighthouse about 10 miles off the coast of California. You can run standard Wi-Fi if you put up custom antennas at each end.
And so blast.
A high-gain directional antenna called a Yagi antenna.
Right.
And have someone on shore. It's all line of sight. Have someone on shore transmit to you, and then you have the receiving antenna to pick up the signal.
But better is if you're out on a boat.
I wouldn't bet my life on
your
it.
Your major choice is to do some sort of satellite wireless for your laptop.
DirectWay is the big company doing it.
Be out on the boat, Hughes. Stranded, and you're trying to connect to the internet.
Well, I'm more interested in trying to keep in touch with the office a couple of times a day when I'm somewhere between here and Bermuda or the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, satellite. You may have to re-aim your dish depending on how far you're traveling. You might have to stop and aim the dish. In fact, one of our customers that has satellite internet said he's got it on his RV, and they told him don't drive while you're surfing the internet. So he lets his wife drive, and he's in the back of the RV surfing the internet. He can go a couple hundred miles before they have to stop and repoint the dish.
There are a couple of companies. There's DirectWay, DirecWay.com. There's Starband at starband.com, Skycasters at skycasters.com, Wild Blue at wildblue.com. Steve will put these up on the website.
I think we've already got a lot of them there, too.
Check them out.
That's probably your best bet. Check them out. See what the prices are like, what the monthly cost is, what the if there's a per packet cost. But that's your best bet at this point, particularly if you're going to be somewhere wandering around the Bahamas and the Bermudas. Listen, you need me to go with you.
To test. We have to test this out.
Yes.
We need to test this, Terry. We can help you with this. A couple of months cruising the Caribbean would work for me as we get this.
Of course, the price of gas now.
He's got a sailboat. It's all about, he's a rag man.
That'll
he's got,
work.
He's doing the...
One of the biggest sail manufacturers in the country is right here in Rochester on Hudson at 104.
There you go.
Yep.
It's amazing the companies that actually are in Rochester, New York, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
You know, we were just talking to the folks from Ambrosia. They're a local company selling national software.
Mm-hmm.
There's millions. I mean, we look at the big three or four and we think, yeah, that's it for Rochester. But we've got millions of companies doing all kinds of amazing things.
Well, there's another company I know that makes little small parts. I mean, they're literally microscopic for tools for surgery.
Yep.
Because you know how that's all done under microscope and that now. They literally make instruments and all that right here in Rochester for National.
Yep. Well, Rob has started the music. Thank you. And that means
just
that
don't
we are
sing.
Done for... Yeah, right, exactly. Shockingly, I don't know that this music even has lyrics, much less know the lyrics. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Obviously, you need to call early and often to get on this show. Or like Ron, you call twice and don't drop the phone the first time. Please check out our website, soundbites.org. Vote in the poll, do all that stuff. Please check out my website, asknick.com. Check out my blog at thesecuritytango.com. And we will be back here next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Thanks for listening.